Good morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman, and we are going to hop on the bus this morning as we talk with the general manager of the Tillamook County Transportation District, Doug Pylant. Thanks for being with us. And just an overview of what is the whole system? What is it all that that comprises the district?
Well, Tillamook County Transportation District is a countywide transportation district established by the County Board of Commissioners in 1997 under the Oregon Revised Statutes 267. But when the district was, prior to the district being formed, they had done quite a bit of local planning, and they had done quite a bit of organization where they took existing services and combined them into a single service. And they got money from the Oregon Department of Transportation to do a demonstration project, part of which was reinstituting the Greyhound service that had been discontinued a decade prior between Tillamook and Portland. So part of the funding for this demonstration project was to reestablish that service, and then they got a small amount of money to begin expanding the services here in the county. And then toward the end of the demonstration project, it was deemed that transit was important enough for Tillamook County for there to be the formation of a transportation district. So not only do we serve the communities and the cities within the district, but we also provide intercity service to Portland.
And how many employees, how many vehicles?
Currently, we have 24 buses and vans, and we have approximately 26 drivers and two dispatchers.
And when you think about it, you really cover, even within the county, I mean, there's a large chunk of geography that you are responsible for, not to mention transportation to Portland.
Tillamook County is 1,100 square miles. Well, actually, by the time you take out the bay and the water areas, it's closer to 1,000 square miles. But most of the residents of Tillamook County live along the Highway 101 corridor, as well as Highway 106. And then for those individuals who live in the harder-to-reach part of the county, we do offer dial-a-ride service for them.
Yeah, I want to get to the dial-a-ride. But so how... For somebody who just goes into a community and says, I got to get from A to B, and they look at a bus schedule and they take it for granted, it's operating at the time they want or the time that they have to use it. We don't have any idea, we civilians, how these schedules and these routes get established and what it takes to maintain them. Is it difficult? I imagine you go back and look at them every now and then and say, is this working the best way we can? How do you establish and think about a route?
Well, it's an ongoing process that never ends. And so we're constantly reevaluating. And so our process here is that we take a look at, what the numbers are for a route. We'll look at, the return on fares, the number of riders. We'll take a look at people who call in requesting service for specific times of the day. We may have received phone calls from people who need to be at a particular destination at a certain time. And so we keep record of all of these things, and then periodically we do a system review. And if there's enough demand warranted, we'll make certain changes to routes. But The route structure that we currently have has not changed since the district was formed. And other than just small changes here and there, so for example, 2.5 years ago, we were going up to Reinhardt Clinic in Wheeler just on request. But after we looked at it, a year had gone by that I'd been here a year, and we're looking at it, and we noticed that, well, we're deviating up to that clinic 70% of the time, either to drop somebody off or to pick them up. So it just in order to reduce the number of phone calls coming into our dispatch center, we just chose to make Reinhardt Clinic part of the regular route, and we had to add a few minutes to the schedule to make that happen, and we found that we were able to make that happen, so now people can have confidence that they can get to the clinic, be picked up at the clinic, and taken back to where they need to be, and they no longer have to make the phone calls to do that.
Our guest this morning on the Econi View is Doug Pilant. He is the general manager of the Tillamook County Transportation District. Doug, I imagine this system is like any other in the country, for that matter, including using an automobile. It probably doesn't pay for itself. My $1.50 per segment is probably subsidized in some fashion, right?
Approximately, on a nationwide basis for rural transit programs such as what we have here, that's developed. This is one of the more developed rural transit programs you'll find across the country. And our current fare box return just from fares is almost 20%. Some months will go, winter months, for example, when ridership lightens up a little bit, it'll drop down to 15 or 16%. But for a lot of rural transit programs that don't have what we would say a good local funding base, such as what we have here, the subsidy for those systems will be in the neighborhood of 90% or 95%. So I would say that Tillamook County Transportation District is in a much better situation. The reason is that in rural areas, because of how our urban areas evolved over time, and just because we have such a huge investment that was made in highways in the 40s and 50s and 60s, that land uses, the way people lived their lives changed, and they became very dependent upon automobile. So as a result, rural areas have transit just was not part of the solution to moving people around, but there's always been people who need transportation in rural areas. So in the case of Tillamook County, when it made the decision to invest in transit for a local system, they basically created demand. And as you create the demand, there's like a latent demand, and more people want to use it. So for communities evolve like this, we'll get a higher return on our fare box. So our subsidy is only around 80% compared to 90 or 95% in communities that have not made any investment.
I sort of feel all transportation is public transportation because the roads we're on, the stop signs, everything. It's all public and all subsidized. So where's the other 80% come from?
The other 80% comes from our local revenues that we have here from our local property tax base. That will pay for approximately 40%. And then we have other state programs and federal programs that will chip in the other 40%.
Can you describe the who your average customer is, or is there such a thing?
Well, I can tell you this. We have a pretty diverse ridership. Back in when the district was formed, probably 90% of the riders were senior citizens or people with disabilities. And as time has evolved, I would say that just on the latest data that we see, that probably close to 50% of the riders are general public, and only 30% are senior and disabled, and then the other remaining 15 to 20% are youth. And out of the general public ridership, which is the only piece that we've done this additional analysis, about 30% of the riders are visitors from the Portland area or other parts of the country. I did an itinerary a few months ago from a guy coming in from Indianapolis, Indiana, and his destination was Oceanside. And So we get people from all over the place. We've had, it was a couple of months ago, we had a couple of young women who had taken Amtrak to Portland. Their destination was the Oregon coast with their bicycles. So we get them all.
It's, you know, getting from Portland here by way of your bus has got to be one of the great deals of all time, I think. And it's a great ride, and you don't have to deal with having to drive in traffic and all that.
Yeah, the Portland route, it's kind of interesting. While it represents anywhere from 10 to 15% of our ridership on any given month, it's actually the backbone of the system because that route feeds all of the routes, and then that route is constantly feeding that route. So it's kind of like there's a real dynamic system that's in play there.
Yeah, I was on one of your buses about a few weeks ago, and it just struck me that the mix of people, there were handicapped people, some developmentally disabled, elderly, that you really provide access to the world that a lot of people would not be able to participate in our community were it not for the bus.
That's where living in Tillamook County, the residents of Tillamook County should take a lot of pride in, you know, what they accomplished back in 1997 when they established the district, because it's because of the decisions they made then that these people were able to have the quality of life that they have today. Without that local investment, people with disabilities would not have transportation to jobs and back home again. And we even have senior citizens who that ride the bus frequently, even to jobs. People are working longer these days.
You mentioned earlier Dial-A-Ride, which many people may understand the concept, but in case people haven't heard of what Dial-A-Ride is, give us the definition.
Well, let's see. I guess the 7-second soundbite is that Dial-A-Ride is a door-to-door service that we offer to all residents in the county. It doesn't matter what your trip purpose is. We make it available for everybody. And we typically will schedule medical appointments. If somebody has a job, we'll schedule those. But other than that, we'll take same-day requests on, you know, space available basis and whether or not we have a driver available at that time.
Now, how do you schedule something like that? Because if you've got people in undetermined locations going to undetermined locations and X number of people and a van and a driver, how is it even possible to schedule?
It's a process. It's all about the process and how you organize your drivers. So 2.5 years ago when I arrived, there was just a few people riding Dial-A-Ride. And over the course of the 2 years, we've grown the ridership on Dial-A-Ride from 400 a month to about 1,000 a month for the last couple of months. And so we're carrying more people, and we're providing a whole lot more rides with the same vehicles that we had out there. But what we did was we changed the process, and we're only scheduling those people who need to go to doctor appointments. And then it's the dispatcher's job that when somebody calls in for a ride, they take a look at where their driver is and which direction their driver's going, and we'll try to be there to get them picked up within a half an hour and at their destination within, you know, the next 15 minutes.
Well, since this is a conversation about infrastructure, I can't help but ask you about another piece of infrastructure, which you are incredibly dependent on, and that is roads, which any of us who live in Tillamook County have got to acknowledge they're not in the greatest shape. Does that affect your operation?
Yes. Roads affect us a couple of ways. When roads are in good shape, our vehicles are able to travel more miles per hour. That affects the amount of money that we pay a driver, you know, to drive for an hour. So when we have good roads, we're able to cover more distance in less time. When the roads are poor, we have to slow down the routes or the Dial-A-Ride vehicles get around slower. But and then the other piece of it is that when the roads are in very bad shape, it does a lot of damage to the vehicles, both to the structure of the body as well as to the frame or the suspension. Roads are just very rough, and they do cost us money.
Well, that ought to be a cautionary tale next time we have an opportunity to pay to upgrade it, because we should. Rural transportation is, when we think of transportation systems, you naturally gravitate toward the urban systems. But can you speak for a moment about how important these systems are, and maybe do so by talking about places where they're not? I mean, there must be counties in Oregon and elsewhere that just don't have a public transportation system.
There are counties without public transportation, and it's more prevalent here in Oregon than, say, it would be in Washington or California. The reason is because both of those states have taken public transportation on as a statewide commitment, and they've at the statewide level, they've made the decision to address public transit as an issue. In Oregon, that hasn't really been taken. They've had a small pot of money was created by the legislature in 1987 called the Special Transportation Fund, and that fund is allocated two counties by population, but there's two problems with that program. One is that because they allocate by population, you have counties that are fairly large, such as Tillamook County, such as Wheeler County, such as Lincoln County, and then you have counties that are small, like Yamhill County or Polk County. And Yamhill and Polk County will have large populations, while a county such as Tillamook or Lincoln County or Wheeler County has small populations. So the money is going to the larger urban areas. So the funding is really hard, or is really tight, for the large counties that are rural with small populations. So the state needs to correct how they allocate their funding, and then the state needs to make a bigger commitment. And so if the state ever reaches that point, then the other thing that really needs to happen is that they need to establish more standards for driver training and even for supervisory and safety-related issues. I think that when those things get put into place, then rural transit in rural communities, that people are going to have a lot more options in their life. Tillamook County is an anomaly, as well as Sunset Empire up in Clatsop County, but the rest of the counties are really struggling.
When was the last time you had a fare increase?
The last fare increase that we had here was 2011. And prior to that, it was the last time Dial-A-Ride fare had changed was 2005.
And through all of that, there has been a recession. Gas prices have gone up. The economy has suffered. Hopefully wages have gone up some. How do you deal with that without just keep on cranking up the fares?
We've had a couple things happen here. One, the state of Oregon receives a pot of money from the Federal Transit Administration called the Rural City Funding Program. And the state of Oregon changed the funding from a population-based allocation to a performance-based allocation. Because Tillamook County has a solid local funding base, that totally changed the game. So over the last 3 to 5 years, our percentage of that rural city money has been growing, while those local communities that lack a local funding base, their amount of money has been dwindling. And so this, for all the systems in Oregon that have strong programs, that pot of money has been growing. So as we've seen ridership growth, especially during the recession, when people started, and when gas prices several years ago went over $5 a gallon, people really changed their attitude toward transit, and they began seeking out transit and learning how to organize their lives around transit. So we've seen a good solid growth in ridership, but because of our strong funding base and the changes in that allocation, it's actually been a reward, so we've been able to weather that storm here locally.
One of the most exciting developments of the last couple of years is the connector system, which is, well, first of all, you describe what the connector system is, which I think is fantastic.
So the Northwest Oregon Connector Alliance is the five counties of Tillamook, Clatsop, Columbia, Lincoln, and Benton counties. And so we've been marketing and branding our collective systems as, you know, one service. And to accomplish that, we've identified where connections between our services can be coordinated so that a traveler can travel from Astoria to Newport, or somebody from Newport can get to Portland via Tillamook. And so we began marketing that service in 2011, and that program has also contributed to our ridership growth. I would say that probably 10 to 15% of our current ridership is a result of coordinating our services as a regional transit solution. And all transit systems, all of the five systems have seen a ridership growth as a result of this service of, you know, marketing and branding this. And so we're currently committed to working together on this going forward, even after the demonstration project was over, and we meet monthly, and we're currently right now doing a statement of work for a planning grant where what we hope to do is to do a little bit more analysis on the visitor rider needs and hone in on those connections that are the most important, and then make sure that we all collectively have the resources to maintain those connections so that visitors coming in the region can travel seamlessly throughout the region.
Well, earlier you were talking about the tweaking your schedule. Did everyone have to tweak their schedules so that it all lined up?
Everybody has to tweak their schedules, and that's part of the big challenge. So, for example, you make a change to the service that comes in from Albany to Newport, and then the bus from Newport to Lincoln City has to connect with our bus that goes from Lincoln City to Tillamook, and it has to connect with the buses going north to Cannon Beach as well as the buses going to Portland. And then it's vice versa, whereas Columbia County and Clatsop County, they have a route that starts in Kelso Longview, and they've got to coordinate getting people to Portland as well as to Astoria down to Tillamook for travelers who are going to Lincoln County. So it's a big challenge.
We have unarguably the one of the most beautiful coastlines in the country, in the world. Am I ever going to be able to take a bus from Astoria to Crescent City?
Astoria to Crescent City may be...
in my dreams?
Well, it might be for the short term. Everybody has identified that as a need. I think that what will have to happen is that at some point ODOT, Department of Transportation, is going to have to identify funding that can be used to fill that need. So, for example, in March, we began operating service from Lincoln City to Salem via the Coastal Connector. And that started out by ODOT funding a kind of a needs assessment study. And then they decided to fund a pilot project. So we're currently in the pilot project phase. And then we had to find funding for the service, the local funding for the service. And so currently both the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde Indians and the Tsleil-Waututh Indians are, you know, putting up the money for the local match. So there's no money coming out of Lincoln County for that service, and there's no money coming out of Tillamook to support that service. So it's just state money and then tribal money that's supporting that service. So going forward, it comes down to the commitment of the two tribes and the state as to whether or not that service will remain intact.
Between you and your colleagues who are involved with the connector, do you get a sense that maybe with all the things we talked about, the rising fuel prices and the economy and such, that there's a mindset shift even in rural communities about we need public transportation?
On some levels, I think that you have, you know, there's a percent of the population that acknowledges that transit is needed. So it might be, for example, you know, we have a couple of private schools that operate here in Tillamook. And so we have students coming in from North County and South County. They ride our buses to school. So the families of those 20 to 25 children, they obviously recognize the need for transit. Then you have families of people with disabilities who have family members who rely on the buses to get to jobs at Marie Mills, for example, or, you know, any other location in town. And so that's an important group of people who've acknowledged there's a need. And then I mentioned earlier there that when the recession happened, that and fuel prices were over $5 a gallon, that all of a sudden there were people looking for other alternatives. And that hasn't slowed down. That has been a constant. Then there is one other group. There's the millennials. That is the first generation since World War II, or even before World War II, that are driving less than their parents. And I have five children, and I have, out of my five, I have one that does not have a driver's license, 29 years old, lives in Portland, and is happy to get around by transit. Does not need a car, doesn't want a car, doesn't want the responsibility. I have three other children that don't want anything to do with buses, but I have another one that enjoys transit. I mean, he doesn't rely on transit, but he's not afraid of transit, and he likes it when he goes to cities and other places and flies in for his job. And then oftentimes he won't even rent a car. He's just happy taking transit to get around. So the millennial generation is completely different than prior generations when it comes to their view of cars and transit. And the other part of it is they want to reduce their carbon imprint. And so they're always looking for opportunities to do that.
Well, keep up the good work. What you do is important. Our guest this morning on Neocony View, Doug Pylanty, is the general manager at the Tillamook County Transportation District. Pleasure. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you for having me.